Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. That noise you're hearing, I had to ask Teresa what that was, and she said it's snow melting. We're getting all the melting. Is it raining? Oh, turn the microphone off. Oh, is that what it is? But you can hear me okay? Yeah, so we're not distracted at all. Okay. When I went to my hometown, to my home church, anytime I would go, I would know that I was a kid again. When you hear that whole expression, a prophet is not without honor except in their own hometown, I understand what that means. Because even if I were to get up and say something really tough, everyone who knew me in my hometown would just smile indulgently, and it would go right over their heads. The last time I was at my home church was for a very dear mentor's wake-keeping service. My husband and I arrived there. Now, I had been pastor for a long time in the Moravian church. I had my own church. I was very prominent in the district. And I get to my home church. And only at home could people see others laid out and say, you know, he looks like a space alien in the coffin. We had the best seats in the house because both Bob and I were conscripted to the choir. And it was a packed house, and at one point the pastor got up. Now, I was just a participant. I was not there to preach. I was not there to lead the congregation. I was sitting in the choir, and they asked people to get up and give some memories of my dear friend and mentor. I had not planned to say anything, but the lady sitting next to me, who of course had known me since I was a youngster, started swatting me. And she said, get up and say something. Now, only in your home church would that happen. And of course, I got up and I blathered about something and sat down and she patted my knee. A prophet is not without honor except in their own town. So when we look at Jesus coming to his own hometown, you'd expect that they're happy to see him. These are people that raised him. These are people that were in Bible study with him. And he comes there, and of course they ask him to speak. And I'm sure somebody said, Jesus, you're here. Here, take him by the hand, get up there, say something. So Jesus gets up and says something. And he sits down to preach. Every eye is on him. And then he starts poking them in the eye. Now, why would he do that? That was the question we had in our Bible study this week because we studied this. And somebody said, why on earth would he speak that way to people he knows and loves? This is his hometown. And what he says is, first he took liberties with the text. He talks about the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and that's a text from Isaiah. And he reads only part of it and stops mid-sentence. And he leaves out the favorite part, because it talks about, I'm here to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and it goes on to say, and the year of vengeance for our God. Now, we wouldn't think that would be a favorite part, but it was for these folks, because vengeance of our God was about all their enemies. And the verse of scripture goes on to say, not only will God take vengeance, but when our place is renewed, when our town is rebuilt, all those hated Gentiles, all the people that oppressed us are going to come back and be our servants. Oh, that was a wonderful image. And even in our day and age when we're a little more evolved, we do like a good story of revenge, when somebody gets what they deserved. But Jesus stopped mid-sentence. It would be almost like if I came up and talked about the 23rd Psalm and I read there, "The Lord is my shepherd, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," period. That's not the whole psalm. We know the psalm. We want you to continue. But he stops mid-sentence, and then he starts to insult his congregation. And he tells them that the very people who gained God's favor in those times were two Gentiles. And he wonders why they ran him off and wanted to throw him off the cliff. So he asked again, why? Why would Jesus talk like that? And somebody said, perhaps it was to shake these dear people out of their complacency. They were so used to hearing the words of grace. They were so used to hearing the word of God that after a while, it really meant nothing to them. And so he wanted to shake them out of their complacency, pry their minds open. And we realize that when Jesus was living on this earth, when he would go out into towns, he was very gracious and kind. He'd heal people. He taught people. He fed people. But the minute he got into a synagogue setting, invariably he had a fight with someone. The minute he stepped into the temple, he would have arguments. And then one time he actually started smacking people around and overturning the tables. But he didn't come to throw off the institution because he institutionalized the church. He didn't come to say it's not important, you should just go out and do whatever you want and there's no place for church. What he did was, because he loved the people of God so much, he wanted to shake them out of their complacency. And that's the challenge of the church today, to be shaken out of our complacency. The people who reflect the grace and the love of God, sometimes we need to be shaken up. I read one place and it captured my imagination, and I hope we remember this today. Somebody was talking about the purpose of the church and why we're here, why we exist. And he said, we have one purpose, and that is keeping up with Jesus. I like that. Can we this year keep up with Jesus? And I think of all the ways this church should keep up with Jesus. When we think of our friends in Milwaukee who are on the front lines of racial healing, when I think of our friends in Milwaukee who are trying to get a cafe together so that people who don't walk into a church can walk into a cafe and find grace and peace and healing and food for the body and soul. And we as a church need to keep up with Jesus. We need to keep up with Jesus in this community. There's so many people that are hurting. We have people in the nursing home who are lonely. We can keep up with Jesus by going there and being a blessing. We can keep up with Jesus when we hear of somebody who's suffering from cancer or who's shut in and we bring meals in. We're keeping up with Jesus. Anytime we hear of somebody who's struggling in life, who can't find their way, we can keep up with Jesus. The people of that day had a golden opportunity. If they had agreed to be shaken out of their complacency, if they could have heard the words of Jesus in a new way, and they could have been co-conspirators with Jesus during his earthly ministry. But in every gospel, in the three gospels that record this story, they all said that Jesus marveled at their unbelief, and that he couldn't do anything good there because they blocked him. Let's keep up with Jesus. Jesus is always on the side of the person who's falling down. Jesus is always on the side of the poor. Jesus is always on the side of people who've been broken by life and are in grief. Let's keep up with Jesus this year. Let us heal the brokenhearted. Let us set the captive free. Let us do the things that Jesus wants us to do in this life, can we keep up with him this year? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the people who heard the word gladly and followed you. Lord, we ask that at those times when we hear the word and it burns us and disturbs us, that you will help us to shake off complacency and keep up with you so that we can be your hands and your feet extended to this world, to the people in our community and beyond who need to hear your voice of peace and hope. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.